Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Fall is here, and winter weather is not that far away, and that means colder temperatures outside. But you don't want the cold to come inside. What is the best way to winterize your home? Saving money on the front end so you don't spend it on higher utility bills. Well, joining me with great information, as always, are Aisha Bryant, store manager with Ace Hardware, and home improvement expert Charlie Hawkins. If you have questions about winterizing your home, whether you live in a single-family home, a townhouse, a condo, or an apartment, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You are welcome to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Aisha, how are you? Good to talk to you again. Been a minute.
It has been, Harold. It's good to hear your voice. I hope you're well and healthy and safe and prospering.
I'm trying to. I'm hanging in there. And Charlie, thank you so much for joining the program again.
Oh no, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So Aisha, let me start with you, because a lot of people are probably listening and they're saying, "Yeah, do I really need to do this? How important is it to winterize your home? How do you know that you need to do it and that it can really make a difference?"
Well, I mean, the first factor is definitely just to be cost effective and efficient with, you know, your bills. As the climate changes outside, our first instinct is to, you know, turn the heat on. And if we haven't prepared, you know, our systems to take on, you know, that level of energy, your bills could definitely skyrocket. And then there are also other factors where, you know, some people tend to make the wrong decisions about how to heat their home, and they may start, you know, a fire in their fireplace, and the fireplace isn't equipped to handle that type of heat because it hasn't been cleaned. And then, you know, you run the risk of a house having a house fire. You know, the most important thing we tell a lot of people are to make sure that, you know, your fire extinguishers are readily available, that your, you know, carbon monoxide and fire alarms have, you know, the batteries changed every season as we go into the next season. But a lot of it is, you know, simple insulation techniques that anyone could do that would help them get through the change in the weather.
Makes a really a good bit of sense. And of course, this being daylight saving time this weekend, we often hear that this is the best time to change the batteries for your smoke detectors, for your CO detectors, if they require batteries. So I guess this would definitely be the weekend to do it, right, Charlie?
Absolutely. Of course, it takes a lot of people time to get used to daylight saving time. On this go around this year, of course, it's going to get dark a lot sooner. It's already getting dark, you know, 6, 7 o'clock. Usually a lot of people's work day is nowhere near over by that time. So it's just great to get those small minor things throughout your house out of the way before you actually come home to relax.
So, Charlie, what's your best checklist for some of the more inexpensive things to do to winterize your home?
Well, definitely it's going to be checking the entire house, mostly any entrance or exit that's leading to outside. So you're talking about your doors, maybe you have a balcony, and even windows. You're just checking those for minor drafts. You will be surprised how small a draft can impact your heating bill, especially in a wintertime. It's a 16th of an inch around an entire window sill is the equivalent of 3 inches of your window just being open for an entire day. So I agree with Ms. Bryant. The small, minor, very inexpensive projects that pretty much any homeowner, renter could do will save a lot on the end and prevent plenty of damage, you know, moving forward, because it's not just about saving on bills. It's also about identifying those small places that you relatively wouldn't look at before they create a larger problem.
So how do you deal with drafts around the window?
Well, first you have to identify them. One of the oldest and most efficient techniques is having an open flame, and you're just moving it close to a windowsill or any type of openings around your door. And if that flame were to move, then you can pretty much identify where that draft is coming from. We have plenty of merchandise as far as weather stripping, smaller door sweeps. The weather stripping is becoming a lot more affordable and easy to use. They're coming adhesive more than the old-fashioned tack-on. You know, a lot of people surprisingly may not know how to use a hammer and nail properly. So the adhesive is definitely moving forward and is definitely efficient.
I need to try some of that myself. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about winterizing your home to make sure that you keep the cold weather on the outside and the warmth on the inside and the money in your pocket. If you have any comments, if you have any questions, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Of course, we have the experts here. Let me go to Mallory, calling from Upper Marlboro. Mallory, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I think he answered my question, but I was wondering, is there any newer technology other than the adhesive and the plastic? Because sometimes it's very difficult to apply it, and then you have to use the blow dryer. So is there anything newer that's out there that would be less overwhelming for me? Thank you.
Aisha, I'll let you take that one. Go right ahead.
So as far as you know, any new technology, Mallory, I'm still trying to create that. So my patent is not ready yet. You're gonna have to stick with the hair dryer with the plastic. That's gonna be the most reliable. I think a lot of people don't take into account how the outside of the home needs to also have some minor things done to it in order to prevent from the draft. So not only what Mr. Hawkins said about using that open flame, find where it's coming from and, you know, maybe sealing that area on the inside, but some of the problem could be addressed with a minor caulk around the window frame from the outside to give you a double, you know, insulation. Because, you know, over the spring and the summer, you get rain, you get heat, and those things can crack and expand, and water can get in. And so not only looking to do something on the inside, but also addressing things on the outside of the home could prevent some of that draft that you are attempting to keep out.
Okay, great idea.
Thank you.
Mallory, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about winterizing your home, keeping the cold out, keeping the warm in, and keeping money in your pocket. Go back to your list, Aisha, some specific things that you need to look for beyond windows and doors.
So beyond that, most of the homes in you know, the DMV have garages.
Yes.
And then they have very small yards. So if you do have a garage, you want to make sure, you know, any power equipment that you've used over the summer that is not going to be used in the fall or in the winter, you know, you drain that gas out. You want to, you know, eliminate anything that could catch a flame or it could be hazardous. There are also generators out on the market that people could stock up on. Because the weather here is so unpredictable, Just having a small generator could be the difference between being able to make a call and not being able to make a call, or to heat, you know, a small portion of your home until the Pepcos of the world can get to your residence. We haven't seen really bad weather in a few years, but I think we may be in store for it this year. I'm not real sure. And then as far as like your yard and things like that, you want to make sure the faucets are turned off so those things don't freeze. If you are a gardener, you want to start planting bulbs so that you're prepared for the spring so that you can, you know, beautify your yard that way. And, you know, remove any leaves from any areas. I know a lot of us have, you know, central air here in the district, and so that requires a unit that's outside. And so that unit, several places, you know, our store included, you know, can provide you with a cover for that outdoor AC unit so that the leaves don't get into it, and then you have a larger issue in the fall. I mean, I'm sorry, in the spring.
Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Winterizing your home. Let's go to Janice calling from Waldorf. Janice, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I would like to know how to insulate a fireplace. I'm not going to use it ever, but I would like to know how to insulate it. Last year, I took plastic saran wrap, and I'm trying to wrap it around it. I need to know how to insulate this thing.
Is this a wood burning or gas fireplace?
I think it's gas. I think it's gas.
You're not sure?
No, I think it is gas, because I remember the person told me I have one gas line in my house. Everything else is electric, but there's a gas line. It's gas.
Okay. Anybody want to take a shot at that?
I'm going to let Mr. Hawkins take that one.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Actually, it's a little bit easier than you would seem. First thing I would, suggest is to, if you're not planning on using it at all, you wanted to get the gas company out there to just shut off that line. Just for safety purposes, as soon as you get that line out and you know it's no gas actually running through, it's multiple ways you can insulate it, including the plastic that you've already tried. You can completely enclose it, which is a little bit more costly. You can put wall ceiling insulation inside. You can get a closed door installed. A lot of those fireplaces that actually leads to a chimney and actually can burn usually has a small hatch that they can close and open just to keep out critters and squirrels and birds and such.
Okay, the hatch is closed, and it does have the little sliding, the doors that you're referring to, but it's still a draft coming in there. So I was on YouTube and everything trying to find out something that I can build to put up to it to keep the draft from coming in.
Yes, correct. I mean, at that point, you can put any flat-surfaced board or maybe even an actual strip of insulation. Either one that you do, you still would have to caulk around those edgings, because that air from that chimney and that pressure will find its way out if it's not completely sealed.
Okay.
Yeah, because that sounds, why don't you want to use it, Janice?
Because I have a fear of, you know, fire, catching on fire, and I just don't want to add another something to worry about to my life. You mentioned, oh, yeah, you need to have a fire extinguisher. Well, if I don't use it, I don't have to worry about the fire extinguisher. I'm afraid of it. We never had one. I bought this house, and it has one in there, and like I said, I'm never going to use it.
Okay. Ever. Yeah, that does sound like, a bit more of an investment, but if you're not going to do it now, do you ever plan on selling the house?
Eventually, yes.
Something that you may need to, you know, think about down the road, because the person that you sell the house to may want a fireplace.
I'm not going to get rid of it. I just want to block the cold air from coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, that may require a little extra work, but you know, okay. Something to think about. But certainly, thank you for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're trying to save you some money tonight. Talk about winterization of your home, keeping the cold out and the warm, keeping the warmth in. Let's talk a little bit about fireplaces real quick before the break. Charlie, how often should you have your fireplace cleaned?
Definitely at minimum, I would say once a year. It depends. A lot of people burn their fireplace just for a setting during the spring and summer months. A lot of people, such as myself, usually will burn the fireplace more during like the fall weathers and the winters, but definitely before you know you're going to have a constant stream or you're planning on burning a lot of fires inside the home, definitely would get it at minimum at least once a year.
Yeah, yeah, something to think about. David from Fort Washington, we also have a call from Bethesda as well. Stay with us. We're going to take a break. And we're going to come back and talk more about winterizing your home. We're going to talk about insulation and some other safety tips to make sure that your home is safe and keep you snug as a bug in a rug. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141, 96.3 HD2, the app. Don't forget to download it on your smartphone, and you can hear the program live in its entirety, as well as on 98.3 FM. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We'll be back in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. We are talking about winterizing your home, making sure that the cold fall and winter weather stays outside, the warmth stays on the inside, and you keep some money in your pocket, especially as it relates to utility bills. Of course, we have the experts, Aisha Bryant, store manager at Ace Hardware, home improvement expert Charlie Hawkins on the line as well. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Call from Bethesda. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, first, I'm so excited to be on the show. I wish I was winning some money because this is probably the first time I've ever got to a radio.
Well, we'll save you. We're not. I don't know about winning any money, but we definitely will try to save you some.
Well, that's good too. I'll take that. So my question is: I live in a condo, and it stays cool throughout the year, which is great when it's the summertime. It's really great because I didn't have to use any air conditioning during the summer. But when the winter time rolls around, it gets so cold to the point where like my electric bill was atrocious. It was like almost $300, which my realtor didn't tell me that. Yeah, I was beyond shocked because she was like, it'll run somewhere between 40, 50, and maybe she just didn't know. She was trying to sell the house. But at either rate, it's just really, really cold in the condo. And I bought like one space heater, but I just need some advice. I just tuned in, so I didn't hear what you all were saying, but I just need some advice on how to weatherize my condo.
Wow. Any ideas? Don't be shy, yeah. Aisha or Charlie. Please jump in.
Yeah. So do you live on the end or do you live in the middle?
That's a good question. I think I live on the end, on the fourth floor.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you're going to... unfairly always have a higher bill than anyone that's going to be near the center of the building or the people that are going to be at the top. You have to fight with the actual draft, whereas you're almost heating everyone else that is you know, inside of the building. I think getting a humidifier might be one way to figure out how to regulate the heat, because you know sometimes you know if there's some moisture in the air, that sort of thing. But you definitely need to make sure that those windows are sealed. And so what we spoke about with the previous caller about using the plastic and using the hair dryer to kind of seal those areas, that would be your biggest advantage in a condo scenario. If you take showers regularly, leave the door open. That could help, you know, bring some of that warm air, you know, into the fray of your home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about the space heaters? I mean, if that's not enough, I mean, is it safe to have space heaters? Because I've heard, like, you know, space heaters could be not so safe, even though when it tips over, it shuts off. But would you recommend specific type of space heaters that are more better than others, or?
Yes, I definitely would recommend an electric tower space heater versus the one that radiates direct heat. I believe they're called the infrared ones. Those are the ones that's a little bit more dangerous. They're kind of new swing on like the older technology of space heaters that was deemed to be very dangerous. But the newer electrical ones, like the ones you already have, that will tip over and shut straight off. The only downside with space heaters is it's designed to heat up a space, right? It won't work for the entire condo. So you're looking at possibly purchasing more space heaters, which also is not going to help your bill.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess it sounds like we're back to just trying to really seal to, like, keep as much of the, you know, the air from outside. So
yeah.
It won't be
definitely
as cold.
One more thing. Check your check your furnace filters. It sounds like your heating system is working a little bit too hard. So check your furnace filters to see if it's due for a new one, because that may just be it. You might not have to have your heat on that long. It's going to pump out a little bit more. You probably need a fresh filter as well.
Okay.
How old is the condo? How old is the
19? It was built in 1979.
Oh, well, there it is. I mean, it's...
I mean, they up to like they brought my particular unit up to date cosmetically. I think that before I moved in, everything was fairly new, like the heating system, the water system. But yeah, overall, the building is pretty old.
Well, like Charlie just said, you may want to check it and see how old the heating unit is, and see how efficient it is. There may be an answer there in addition to what Aisha said about being the, you know, the end unit and what kind of draft you're getting. There may be some things that you can do to make it more efficient. And also, what's that thing, because I'm not the expert here, but even the little bit of insulation, isn't there something you can do, Aisha, about even looking for the small things, like the insulation around your light, your plug sockets?
Yeah, you definitely can. That's a really easy fix of taking those off. A lot of people don't use those anymore because most often those are built in, but something of the age of your condo, there is a specific like insulation, and it looks the same size as all of your electrical covers that you could put there to stop that draft as well. And it's literally having a Phillips head screwdriver, the one that looks like a cross. And unscrewing those covers and putting that on to block some of that air from coming into an older residence.
Yeah, because, I mean, if it's 1979, mm-hmm. and she said maybe some cosmetic things have been done, But, you know, that's one of those little details that may have been missed.
Yeah. And, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys are saying the actual outlets in the house
yep.
also could be bringing extra. Okay. I never thought about that. Okay.
Yep. That's why Aisha is here.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much. You've been very helpful.
Thank you so much. You have a good weekend. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. David calling from Fort Washington. Charlie, I'll let you handle this one. David, what's on your mind?
Hello. I was just calling to make a suggestion to the lady who has the fireplace that she doesn't use.
Sure.
What she has is a direct vent unit. If she can insulate her vent and stop the draft from getting into her actual box, then she would reduce the air that's getting into her house. But she first must, like the gentleman said, eliminate the flame or the pilot before she does any type of insulating. But I would suggest her doing the vent first, insulating that, and then making sure her flue is closed, and then that should reduce the air that's coming into her house.
Okay, well, I hope that she is still listening. So thank you so much for that suggestion, David. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the big things that we often see when the temperature drops is the freezing and cracking of pipes. Talk to me, if you can, Charlie, about how best to protect water pipes.
Definitely pipe insulation. It's literally a foam substance that multiple retail stores carry, different shapes and sizes, because you can have from just anyone's generic home can have anywhere from a half of an inch pipe that's running water all the way up to your drainage pipes, which they call your main line, which is 4 inches. That kind of like runs out to your nearest like sewage system. That's pretty much well insulated, so you never have to worry about those larger pipes, but definitely the smaller pipes that's running in and out of the house or all through the house that's just, you know, put inside the walls or maybe running to your faucet, definitely would start with pipe insulation, especially if they're exposed, like when you do have the external heating or air conditioning systems, if you live in a home or a townhome, definitely want to cover those up. Definitely want to use your spigot covers also. It's a foam-like cover that goes over the water spigot to just reduce the weather elements from running up down and down your pipe. They also have, if you're already experiencing that problem or if this is something that's reoccurring every single winter, you might want to invest in a electrical coil heater, which you just wrap around your pipe, plug it in, and it's just pretty much a heating element to keep your pipes, you know, defrosted as much as possible.
So an electrical coil heater, I'm assuming that is a low heat element.
It is.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, definitely compared to the weather. So if you're talking 20 degree, you know, weather outside, you know, something that even can heat up to 30 degrees is more than efficient for your pipe.
Okay. Okay. And now, are there any other things that just off the top of your head, Charlie, that you really think are important? Because I think one of the things, and I think about, you know, my house, and I say this all the time, you know, I have an older home. My house is 85 years old, and I have radiator heat, gas heat, and it's, and when it heats up in my house, it gets to cooking, you know, in there, and it's really, really wonderful. But the biggest thing that I am most concerned about, for example, is I will notice moving from room to room that there will be a significant shift in the temperature. And going up the steps, for example, from the living room, dining room, and the kitchen, going up the steps to the bedrooms, I will notice a drop in temperature until I get from room to room. So there is not a draft, but I'm losing heat somewhere in the step area. Maybe it's in the attic. I'm not sure.
Yeah, definitely. One of the most important things is if you do have an attic or a crawl space or a basement, especially those older homes that usually come unfinished and just, you know, a little bit of insulation and you can see the plywood from the bottom of your roof, you definitely want to check on that before the beginning of winter, especially since you have an older model home. I'm pretty sure you might have definitely had some renovations, but that insulation definitely is not like a lifetime warranty. Like it does pretty much wear out after a while. It still will insulate as much as possible, especially the fiberglass one, but after a while and after years and years and years, especially dealing with the weather elements itself, and it literally can take something small as the one time before you even moved into the house, like they may have had a roof leak and they fixed the roof, but they never switched out the insulation. So definitely we'll check that as far as if you believe that it's up to par. And I'm sure if you were to go in your attic, it's going to be a considerable change just from where you are on your steps to when you actually peek your head in the attic.
Is that, and I actually have steps that pull down, so I can literally walk up in there, and the attic is big enough where I can stand in. Is that something that I can do myself?
Absolutely, especially inspecting it. Yes, definitely we'll go up there, notice the difference of temperature from, you know, that ground level to when you actually get inside of the attic. Definitely take a note. While you're up there, it's also great to take a look at your roof. Make sure you don't see any daylight or any outside light, because that can also push its way inside and, you know, just change the entire temperature of a home. Now, you can, and it's very possible for anyone to buy rows of insulation and redo it themselves. If you're not too familiar with it, I would recommend just a general contractor, someone who possibly focuses more on roofs and insulation. It'll make your life a lot easier. I'm not sure if you ever dealt with insulation, but
I have not. I kind of deal with words, but not
that's something that takes a lot of planning, a lot of prep work. Because if you just go in there blind-eyed, you'll be itching for the next 2 months.
Oh yeah,
trying to Google how to get the fiberglass or hits out of your arm.
Oh, gosh. Don't laugh at me, Aisha. I don't. I'm doing, Aisha, I'm doing the best I can here.
No, I believe you.
I'm just trying to keep it together with my, you know, with my little house here. I'm going to take a break. But when we come back, I want to think of some, you know, just some other helpful things for our listeners that they need to know to make sure that they're saving some money. And if you guys can just kind of pull out some stops for the rest of the program, I'd appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, the app, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment, and we are talking about winterizing your home. Of course, my guests are Aisha Bryant, store manager with Ace Hardware, and home improvement expert Charlie Hawkins. Let us talk a little bit about outside of the home, because this is something that we've not really kind of focused on. I'll start with you, Aisha, because one of the things that a lot of people I think do not consider are, you know, are there gutters? What should you look for before we get, you know, the snow and all of that when you're talking about your gutters and your drains?
Yeah, well, your gutters definitely need to be free of any obstruction. This is one of those tasks where it is to your fear, the level of fear you have of heights,
could definitely be the factor that decides whether you do it or you don't. It's very easy to go up and, you know, kind of just clean those areas out. But in my opinion and in my travels, I have known it better to get someone who knows what they're doing to go up and, you know, take care of things like this. I often see people use blowers to clean those areas out. But definitely making sure that the gutters are free of any debris again, so that the water, when we do get those cold snaps or the snow and things start to melt, you don't run into areas where there are pockets of snow that cannot move through the gutter after it has melted. And then you would run into, you know, more of issues with the roof. As Mr. Hawkins said previously about, you know, the pipes outside and your spigot, those things definitely need to be covered. You don't want to run into a situation where something outside has then caused, you know, something to go wrong on the inside of your house.
What do you mean?
So if for some reason the pipes outside are left unattended, that could force the pipes on the inside to possibly have a freeze as well. If those aren't covered.
You know, one of the things, that's right, and I remember years ago that it was probably around this time, since, you know, this was kind of the end of the yard work, if you turn them off on the inside and then you run all of the water out of them, and I guess that would prevent them from any residual water from freezing on the outside. I mean, they're essentially empty. And so I guess you don't have any of the water that would be sitting in the pipe during the winter from freezing and causing the kind of problem that you're talking about.
Right, to relieve some of the pressure off of the pipe, for sure.
Yeah. And now what about trees? Because when you get, you know, that freezing rain and the like, is this the time that maybe anything that's hanging over that you may need to prune back your trees? Golly, that sounds so expensive, though.
No, there's some tools that can be used to kind of cut those back. But Mr. Hawkins, you had something?
Yeah, I mean, along with just like in and out, I would say a general outside inspection. We're not actually considering someone to actually go up on their roof. When I mean check their roof, I mean take a step back, even using binoculars. You're just looking for like some main, like obvious causes that may be, you know, hindering your weatherproofing. So if you have some loose shingles or some rotting shingles, any holes in your roof, of course. Definitely if you are in an area that you're surrounded by trees or any other natural structure, you definitely want to take a very close look at them. You're looking for any type of dead branches, mostly stuff that's falling off. So now if you do notice a tree that's hanging over your house or it's very close to your house, definitely look at the base of the tree. If you're seeing more branches than you're seeing leaves in the fall time, then you probably want to have someone come out to look at that, because if we get any heavy rains, any heavy winds, that's something that could definitely damage your house.
And I was just thinking about what I was saying. The cost of, if you can't do it, the cost of probably pruning back a tree, if necessary, would be considerably less than the potential damage to your house if a tree maybe, you know, is, you know, falls, or a very heavy branch is, you know, is weighed down by a freezing rain and damages your house. So maybe it's worth the risk, huh? Or worth the money.
All right, absolutely. And it's not even to a point where you may even have to cut down like an entire tree that's been there for multiple years. It's a lot of smaller services throughout the DMV where it's just literally maybe a guy with some protective gear, a ladder, and a generic pruner that anyone could probably buy from your local hardware store.
Yeah. And, you know, in the beginning of the conversation, one of the things that was mentioned, we talked about fire extinguishers, and very few of us during the being at home through the life of our house have to use a fire extinguisher. And but last summer I had to use one, and I will tell you, they really work. I highly recommend that you have a fire extinguisher. You have at least one under the sink, easily accessible in the kitchen. Have one in the utility room. Have one upstairs, maybe two on every single floor, and know where they are so that you can access them easily. Those rascals really work. they really, really work. And it's important that everybody in the household knows how to use them. And that's just not a winterization thing. That's certainly a home safety thing.
No, I certainly agree. We put a very high precedent on the fire safety month and things like that around, you know, the store to educate not only the customers, but our staff as well, about the importance of, you know, fire safety. You, oftentimes you typically see schools, younger children going to, you know, a fire department and learning about those things. But as adults, we kind of ignore the dangers of possible fires. Not only a fire, but also, you know, the threat of carbon monoxide, because that's one of those things that you can't see, and it we sell different products that can deal with, you know, a fire and carbon monoxide all in one. And I think that's important for people to remember.
Yeah, especially this time of the year, because, you know, the holidays are coming. You're going to have your Christmas decorations coming up soon, and you know, you're going to have real trees, that you're going to have the fire risk and everything. So, you know, that winterization not only keeps the cold out, but the safety issues are also coming up as well. So we want certainly everyone to be as safe as possible. Aisha Bryant and Charlie Hawkins. Gosh, excuse me. I tell you, allergies are killing me this month. I want to thank both of you for all of your expertise, all of your help. And Charlie, I promise I will not be fooling around with fiberglass in my attic. I'm going to call somebody and see if they can get some of that stuff done so I can get rid of that draft in my hallway. Aisha, stop laughing at me. I really appreciate that. Good to talk to both of you. I appreciate it. Stay warm this weekend. Don't forget to turn your clocks back Saturday night, 1 hour. Daylight saving time is back with us. Take care.
Thanks for having us.
All righty.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, November 5th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night, everybody, and have a wonderful weekend.